Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
The quality of being holy, sacred, or saintly. Some of the synonyms according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary include holiness, sacredness. So we're looking at sanctitude, the state of being holy, the state or the quality of being holy, sacred, or saintly. It's such an interesting fact to discover in the Word of God that the Bible is replete with instructions as touching living holy life. And this is so important. We must realize that the New Testament does not in any way permit a life that is not consistent with the position in which God has brought us. So turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. Let's start from verse 15. From verse 15, I want you to give it to me. He says, but as he which had called you holy. Now the word is there in the original is not there, but it's not bad. He says, but as he which had called you holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now the word conversation there is anastrophe. It means manner of life. Conversation in King James doesn't mean conversation like you're having a conversation with somebody. The Greek word is anastrophe. Anastrophe means conduct. So in verse 16, it goes on. It says, because it is written. Now, this is Peter. And don't forget, Peter was writing to Jewish Christians who were in Gentile nations. You see, my aim in this teaching series is to help you, train you on how to live holy, holy. In a crooked world, living insulated, not isolated. There are two different things. In physics, you can be insulated, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be isolated. Isolation means to take out completely. Like living the life of a monastery. You can choose to live and put up your best behavior in the monastery, but you cannot test the teachings, the trainings in monastery until you come to live among people. The proof of light is seen in darkness. So in a crooked world, how do we live insulated? To insulate the English definition of insulation simply means, all right, to prevent from corruption by association. Let me give you an instance. In physics, or in what we call in electrical electronics, when they say they insulate a metal, that means they cover it with a non-conductor. Can you see that? Like, for instance, the wires, the metals with which they use in bringing electricity from generating plants somewhere in Niger State down to this place is insulated. The wires they run through in this building, for example, it's insulated. That means covered. But in English language, it simply means to prevent from corruption by association. So I want to show you, I want to train you in this teaching series how to live in this crooked world. Come on now. Holy, holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y, H-O-L-Y. You understand what I'm talking about? Holy, holy. That means entirely holy. Glory to God forevermore. Now, Peter tells us, now, he's talking, his immediate audience are the Jews who are scattered around the world. Let me give it to you. Go back to verse 1. Let's see it. Give it to me. Verse 1. That same 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to strangers. Someone says strangers. Who are these strangers? These are the Jewish Christians. They faced persecution. And for that single reason, they've scattered all around the realms. And they've gone to all these Gentile nations who don't know God. All these Gentiles who don't have relationship with God. They are in a crooked world. So he writes to them because they are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Go back to verse 15. Verse 15. So you can see his immediate audience and by extension, us. He says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. So he's asking them to be holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conduct. King James says conversation. It's anastrophe. It means manner of life. Now it tells you where he brings that scriptures from. Go next to read. Verse 16. He says, because it is written. You know, I told you before, there is no such thing as Old Testament and New Testament book. What you have is dispensation. What you call New Testament is not known to Paul. What you call New Testament is what Paul considers as his letters, for example. And many of those letters are reactional. Only Philippians majorly is not reactional. I'll give you an instance. If you read the book of Corinth, in fact, if I were to tag the book of Corinth, I would tag it as Paul's response to the matters in Corinth. Because they sent him questions about marriage, about fornication, about things happening in the church, about communion. Some people will come hungry. They will come and eat all the Holy Communion early in the morning before that's come. So they were asking questions about, is it okay to remain as a chaste? About spirituality, because it was rowdy in the church. People will come to church, everybody will be prophesying. This one will stand up. Hey, Malaka. You say, I see you drank garri yesterday. This one too will stand up. So everybody was prophesying, it was rowdy. So they sent him questions. So you see him answering. He says, now concerning spirituals. At one point, he says, you have asked me about, as touching, whether a man could touch a woman or so. So he was responding to their questions. So most of them are actually reactional. Are you listening to me? And if he was reacting, don't forget, he was reacting from response of revelation of God's word from the scripture. What is scripture? Genesis to Malachi. In heaven today, scripture is Genesis to Malachi. Say after me, say in heaven today, scripture is Genesis to Malachi. But unfortunately, Genesis to Malachi was not written with easy to digest form or in easy to digest form. And I'll tell you why. Give me Hebrews 1:1. I'm going to show you something. Hebrews 1:1, he says, God, who at sundry times, and in diverse manners, the word diverse manners means polytropos. God in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That means God spoke in diverse manners, in different forms, polytropos. Tropos means body, form. Poly means many. Are you listening to me? So God spoke in different forms. Who are those fathers? Isaiah, come on, talk to me. Jeremiah, those are the fathers. Don't forget, the writer of the book of Hebrew was addressing the Jew. So the fathers he's talking about is not Omadioha, is not Shango. Are you listening to me? The father he's talking about are the patriarchs of the Jew. So he says, God spoke through the fathers in diverse manners. Why? In other words, the language of scriptures from Genesis to Malachi is not straight. So, for example, you read the book of Hosea. God told Hosea, go and marry a harlot. And he goes to marry a harlot. Now, you don't take that now and say, well, boy, I'm going to go to the brothel, go pick a nice girl. After all, a prophet went pick a brother, going to the brother to pick a girl. No, you're mistaken. That was a dramatic message of God to Hosea to demonstrate how he loved Israel, and yet they were still chasing after other gods. And yet he was chasing after them. He calls them going whoredom. They were going in a hurry, and yet he was going after them. So God had to dramatize. Come on now. Numbers 21 verse 9, you're going to see, for instance, all right, when Moses raised the serpent, that was a shadow. There's something called typology, the concept of theology where you use types and shadows to prefigure the redemptive work of Christ. So in Genesis, Moses told us that there was a tree. It wasn't a tree. Are you listening to me? It wasn't a literal tree. Because Jesus later told us in the book of Matthew 15 from verse 11 to 19 that not that which a man eateth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the heart of a man. So what you eat cannot defile you. So definitely Adam was not defiled by eating coconut, apple, or whatever you call it. Again, it was figurative of how the first man rejected salvation. Rejected the tree of life. Listen, the tree of life, the bread of life, the water of life, all of them, life, 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 book of life. There is no book in heaven where, you know, you read the Revelation book of symbol and say another book was opened. All right, it doesn't mean that there is a book like this. It's just figurative. Jesus is the book of life. So if you're born again, you are in the book of life. Your name is in the book of life. It's just figurative of saying you are in him. Come on, talk to me. So the language of scriptures from Genesis to Malachi is not straight. So you have to understand these things. This is so important. So Peter, in 1 Peter 1:16, notice he says, because it is written. He was quoting scripture. And that scripture is still scripture today. And the whole epistle you see, the major doctrinal epistles that you see, they are just a simple exegesis, an unveiling of the hidden truth in Genesis to Malachi. I can give it to you. The message of justification, righteousness, they are all simply an expansion. An expansion. A proper exegesis, explanation, the unveiling of the hidden truth in Genesis to Malachi. So he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So where was it written? Go to Leviticus, let's see where it was written. Leviticus 11:44. Let's look at it. Leviticus 11:44. Let's start from verse 41. From verse 41. And I want you to see the context upon which Peter was saying this. Are you following me, church? This is Bible study. I just want to lay foundation today. Are you getting blessed already? Yes, glory to God. Say after me, I'm blessed. Say, it is given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Glory to God. Can you see that? It says, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. So he was giving them the Levitical rules as touching what to eat and not to eat. The animals they're going to eat. There was a reason why I showed you from Hebrews 1:1, beg your pardon. That the language of scripture is not straight, and you're going to see it very soon. So let's go to verse 42. He says, whatsoever goeth upon the belly, that's like snake, lizard, reptiles, they don't eat it. And whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Verse 43. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourself unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. He's talking about the thing they should not eat that could defile them. Now, pay attention. Then in verse 44, he says, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourself. We're teaching on sanctitude, right? That means the state or the quality of being holy, sacred. He says, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. For there means because I am holy. neither shall ye defile yourselves with the manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he's talking about what not to eat. Look at 20, Leviticus 20, verse 7. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Glory to God. He says, sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye what? I want us to read Leviticus 20, verse 7. 3, 2, go. Sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy. Now, when you read this on the surface, you're going to think God is teaching Israelites on diet plan. Don't forget, the individual that we're talking about who quoted this scripture, his name is whom? Talk to me. His name is whom? His name is whom? Peter. Now, all those animals were listed in Leviticus 11. Go back there. From verse 1 to 8, we're going to read it. Leviticus 11 from verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, you have to be fast with me. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts ye shall eat. Can you see that? Among all the beasts that are on the earth, whatsoever parted the hoof and is cloven footed and chewed the cord. If you study agriculture, you know that's four stomach compartments. He says, among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Interestingly, let me just lighten a little. Interestingly, scientifically, most of these things have been found to be good. The things they said to eat has been found to be good. The things they found not to eat are found not to be good. From the health standpoint, for instance, pig is one of those things that were said not to eat. I told you, if you're eating pig, I feel so sorry for you. Especially the one reared in Africa. I feel so sorry for you. If you're listening to this tape and you're living in the United States or you're living in the United Kingdom, you can eat hog. You can eat it in form of bacon. It's beautiful. It's all wonderful. Come on now. But if you're in Africa, you were eating pig, I feel so sorry for you. Because you see, history tells us that the history of pigs, hogs, swine, that's what they call them. They are scavengers. They were reared to clean the environment. I'm not trying to teach you diet right now. Do you know what it means? That for you to call an animal a scavenger feeds on dead things. That means if he sees a dead body, he will eat it. And God has made it to have special enzymes that will convert those things to meat. So the things will close your nose when you're passing by. You're going to see a pig feeding on it, and it's going to feed fat on it. And you little rascal, you're going to go out there, go buy that thing. You are what you eat. I know I messed your mind up. Some of you would like to eat all those shit. I'm sorry, I don't eat that stuff anymore. But anyway, that's not where I'm going. I just lied, by the way. Praise God forevermore. I said praise God forevermore. I'm sorry, those guys from Otupo, all these people. I know it's one of the things that you guys pay as bride price. I know it. I'm sorry, so, so sorry. Glory to God. My. Okay. Let's go. So, all these animals, you're going to read down to verse 8. They are the animals that he says, he was telling them about what to eat and what not to eat. Like I said, when you read this, you think God was particular about the diet plan, but no. Now you're going to see how that when Peter, the same Peter, in a vision, God appeared to him and brought down, he let down all these unclean animals and told him to eat. Even in his dream, Peter said, "Eh, I won't eat it." Not in real life, but even in dreams. As a believer, forgive me to say this, there are some things you shouldn't find yourself doing, even in your dream. I mean, even in the dream, the man say, "Ni bazen chiwonaba alekiai." Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Look at Acts 10, verse 9. Acts 10, verse 9. Acts 10, verse 9. Look at what the Bible says. It's going to be a long read. I'm just going to lay foundation today. I have some deep stuff to share with you. Glory to God. And I'm going to make it, of course, you know my theology are very practical. I'm not just going to feed you with some hocus pocus kind of thing. You're going to be able to use them in your daily life. In Acts 10 verse 9, the Bible says, "And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." Come on. "And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance." Has it happened to you before? Mama is in the kitchen cooking food, but you couldn't wait. You were hungry until you slept off. You find yourself eating the same food Mama is cooking. You woke up, they came to wake you. You say, "Smell the food." You're smelling the food from your dream. Happens a lot, right? But interestingly, God is a master communicator. He uses that situation to communicate something deep to Peter. I told people, God is not hard to hear. I hear him today. I hear him every day. He's a master communicator. If you will pay attention to him. So now, look at verse 11. "And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and there led to the earth," verse 12, "where were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, creeping things and fowls of the earth." Verse 13, "And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Then you see verse 14, "And Peter said, Not so, Lord." He was arguing with Jehovah. He said, "Lord, not so." He says, "For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now let's go. Verse 15. "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed." Somebody say cleansed. Say it again. "That call not thou common." In other words, what God has cleansed. Cleansed means set apart. What God has cleansed, don't call it unclean. "This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven." Hallelujah. Go to verse 24 quickly. Verse 24. "And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them." Now, one of the problems we have in the body of Christ, why we have different views to eschatology, that means to about the end time, is because, you know, there were books that have been referenced majorly many times. You know, Daniel, the book of Revelation, they are book of symbols. And the problem with the book of Revelation, when the man writes and finish, he says, "Cursed be anyone." So you are very, theologians want to be very careful, you know, to divide it. So it can be very, very dicey. That's why theologians don't touch it. But it's not hard. Because if you read Revelation from chapter 1, it tells you the revelation of Jesus Christ. So these are some of the things. Thank God for the incidents that occurred after this dream that he had. If not, today we will have many translations and interpretations for this dream. But we found out from the immediate occurrence that what that unclean animal meant. Don't forget, God told him, he said, "Look, eat." He said, "No, I have never eaten anything. Talk to me, anything." What were those things that were unclean? Talk to me. Animals. Forfeited. And somebody say animals. Say it again. Now, go to verse 24. Now, here is Peter wanting to narrate the issue. Let's go. "On the morrow after they enter into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together this his kingsmen and near friends," 25, "and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet and worshipped him." I'll tell you the story. God has appeared through an angel to Cornelius, who is a Gentile. Now, Cornelius was a devout man. He prayed always. He had good devotion, but he knows not the meaning of what he was doing. He had religion, but he does not have the substance. He gave alms. He did all the good stuff. Even the Bible says he was a good man. But he had no religion. I mean, he had no faith in God, in Christ. He's not born again. And the angel appeared to him and said, you know what? These are spiritual things. We can see it. Heaven, they feel you. But guess what? You can't be saved this way. Send men to Peter, who shall tell thee words by which thou shalt be saved. Salvation will only occur when you hear the gospel, the word. Can you see that? You can pray your highball out. If you don't hear the gospel to believe, salvation will not occur. So, now, as he sent his men to fetch this man, so he meets Peter. Look at it. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Now, I want us to read verse 28. Now, let me tell you, before these Gentiles, non-Jews, they see themselves, they know that they were the unclean. Are you listening to me? Come on, are you listening to me? Now, go verse, can we all read verse 28 together, everybody in unison? This screen. Praise God forevermore. All right, let's read verse 28 together, everybody. 3, 2, go. And he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company. Are you following? To keep company or come into one of the another nation. But God has showed me. How did God show him? In a dream. What did God really show him truly, truly? Animals. Come on. Are you following? Say, but God has showed me that I should not call any animal. Is that what he says? I should call what? Any man. So that means the animals we see in Leviticus is not a diet plan God was giving them. God was speaking figuratively about men who are unclean. Gentiles, non-Jew. In other words, you and I. Because according to law, you and I, we are not clean. He says that I should not call any man common or unclean. Thank God Peter explained to us. He did the exegesis. Otherwise, people would have come with different meaning to that dream. That's why dreams are never perfect guidance. You see, believers saying, God, if he's the one you want me to marry, let him wear blue tomorrow. Come on now. And Satan will go talk to one Jasper. Jasper Jakuli. He will tell him to wear blue the next day. You want to do like Gideon. Don't you understand that there is such a thing as dispensation in permission about receiving divine guidance? God permitted that to Gideon on two occasions, dispensation. Then number two, he was in a distress. The kind of thing God is asking him to do required some extra conviction. That was why. Don't go about saying, God, if you want me to marry that man, let him wear blue tomorrow, and devil will hear that. And devil will go spy to the guy, wear blue. The guy shows up, he wears blue, and you say, oh, he's my husband. You are going to be treading the mumu path. Don't live by your senses. Be led by inward witness. We are led by the Spirit. Say loud, amen. I remember one lady one time came to me and said, you saw me in a dream. I said, what do you see me in your dream? Say, you saw me. She was wearing a white gown. I said, no, it me you see at all. You didn't see me. Because then I told her, 10 years from now, I'm not even thinking about that area. So God couldn't have been talking to you about, no. I said, let me tell you what it means. It just means that maybe God wants me to lead you to Christ or want to grow you up spiritually. Or maybe God is showing you how your husband in the future would be. Many times people try to translate dreams instead of interpret dreams. Translation is different from interpretation. I'll give you an instance. The only Bible is translated, not interpreted. That's why we have errors sometimes, for example. I'll give you an instance. This Bible was not written in English. It was written in some Asian language. So let me give you, for instance, have you ever had a difficulty to communicate a statement in your language to somebody who doesn't understand that language? Maybe you're speaking Igbo with somebody and, you're talking Igbo. Then one Yoruba asker just comes and says, hey, what are you guys saying? I don't know how to tell you. Has it ever happened to you? Because English is shallow. Very shallow. They borrow from Portuguese. They borrow from French. agriculture, English word, but they will tell you agri come from, nomi come from. They borrow a lot of things. Very shallow language. So sometimes it's hard to communicate some things. So the Bible was translated. And King James was very smart to make sure it was translated. So, for instance, imagine if Jesus spoke Yoruba. And he now tells the people, he says, Fetisile. If you hear Fetisile, the people who wrote the Bible or who wrote the words Jesus said, we write Fetisile. They did not interpret, they translated that Yoruba into English. Fetisile, put your ears on the ground. So now if you now pick it 2,000 years after and say the Bible says Fetisile, glory to God, I'll put my ears on the ground. You are just mumu. See, let me explain to you. That Fetisile simply means give me your attention. So there's something called literal and connotative meaning. The literal is usually the denotative meaning. So there's a connotative or contextual meaning. Sometimes there are words used as idioms. So you have to understand idiomatic expression. And when you read, just like many texts, every other book in the world, nobody writes a book. I mean, you come reading Chimamanda Adichie, and she's writing, and she say, I'm using metaphor in this place, so in brackets. You are the one that will discover if it is simile, whether it is metaphor, whether it is personification, whether it is hypocatastasis, whether it is, you don't know that that's also a figure of speech, hypocatastasis, you don't know. Google your dictionary. There's such a thing as that. Glory to God. Amen forevermore. So you have to understand these things. So we know therefore that when God was talking about clean and unclean animals, the clean animal referred to the Jew, the unclean animal referred to what? Who? Gentile. So he was talking about association. Are you following me? So it is this same Peter who is now writing to the Jews in a Gentile world, in a crooked world. Don't forget, I told you that my aim of this teaching is to help you, train you on how to live holy in a crooked world. Are you listening to me? Because you are not going to leave the world. You will live in the world, but you are not of the world. And we are not going to be taking you to monastery to live in seclusion. We are learning how to live isolated, how to live insulated, not isolated. That you can do transactions with crooked people and they don't influence you, rather you influence them. Are you following what I'm saying? So to the Jews now, who are now in Gentile nations, Peter wrote, and by extension to us in our age. Look at it, go back to it. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15. It is this same Peter who is now saying in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, he says, but as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in what? In all manner of conversation. So he's asking you to be holy. In other words, he's not telling you that your manner of life, your conversation there is anostrophe. He's not saying that it is your conduct that will make you holy. He says you'll be made holy. Now you be holy. That means carry out your holiness. Because in verse 2, he already told you that you are elect. You are set apart, sanctified by the sprinkle of the blood. Look at verse 2. Look at it. In the same verse, look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. He says, elect. Oh, are you elect? Come on, are you elect? He says, elect according to what? The foreknowledge of God the Father. Through how? Sanctification of the Spirit. You've been sanctified. We're talking about sanctitude. That's the teaching series, right? You've been sanctified, set apart unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. I've told you, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus does not mean the blood of Jesus, I sprinkled the blood over my house. I sprinkled the blood. No, now. It was in the Old Testament that they were sprinkling blood, and it was figurative of death. Leviticus 17:14 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. That means blood means life. Even in nowadays language, if somebody says, you see that guy? The blood of 10 people is on his head. Are they saying that they kill people, put 10 blood people of people, put in nylon and put on his head? No, now what they are saying is he has killed or is responsible for what? The death of 10 people. So the blood of Jesus means the death of Jesus. You have to understand Bible language, because Bible language many times is target specific. Writing to the Hebrews, he used the example of priesthood, the example of blood of sprinkle, because they are the ones who understand priesthood. They are the ones who understand sprinkle of blood. A Gentile man does not know anything. They don't have God. They are the one who created their own God. They go into the bush, cut tree, and make it God. So they don't know anything about blood of sprinkle or those things. Mm-mm. So talking to the Gentiles, he knew how to speak with them. Speaking with the intelligentsia, the guys in Greece, in Athens, he knew how to come. So as a Bible teacher, as a preacher, there are ways to preach, there are ways to teach, there are different audiences. There is always a way to communicate. It's not the way you communicate with teenagers. It's not the way you would talk to older people. The teenagers, for example, they like adventure. So you can take them to the beach to preach and show them nature and share God's word with them. They'll be very blessed. That's why some of you, when you were in teenage school, you always ran away. They say, go to children's school, you church. You say, no, I'm adult. That's why you've missed so many things. The children, for example, they like pictures, so they put them in a room, they put TV for them to watch cartoon, Jesus cartoon. All right? It's because it's still preaching the same thing in different formats. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Good. So, he already said in verse 2 that our sanctification came by the Spirit. Now, by the way, the word sanctification there is the same word as holy. It's agios. That's the root word. Verb is agiasune. Agiasmosis. Don't worry, I don't want to mesmerize your head with all those. I want to be as simple as possible. Are you following what I'm saying? If I'm learning something, let me see your hands up. You are learning something. You're following. Beautiful. Glory to God. That means I'm making a headway. So, Peter admonishing us to be holy. In 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16, is simply admonishing us to be circumspect in our association. So I know I told you, I said, I want to show you how to be holy, holy in a crooked world. Number one is be circumspect in your association. So number one, association. Association. That is how you're going to be practically holy. You've been made holy to be holy. So we are not asked to do right so that we can be holy. Mm-mm. We are holy so that we can live holy. Come on, talk to me. So Peter tells us we are holy through the sanctification of the Spirit. And that same Peter goes on to tell us in verse 14 to 16 that the way we do so is to be circumspect in our association. Paul also taught this. Let me show it to you, then we close. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. This one is a very deep stuff. Ooh, I wish I had time to explain further on this, but... Whew. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. If a legalistic preacher catch this scripture, by the time he's done with you, you will pull everything you are wearing. Praise God. But you see, that's why the best way to understand scripture is context. Number one, I want you to know that the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. So chapter 7 verse 1 says, having therefore. Therefore means he has been saying something that made him say this. Come on. Right? Ms. Bifu. So he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. So number one, that means he's telling you that the premise upon which he wants you to cleanse yourself from all those filthiness is the promises. So what are those promises that you already have that he is appealing to as a grant for you to cleanse yourself? Did you get the English? Come on. He's saying, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. The word cleanse there means set apart. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, he's telling you that, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, number one, what are these promises that we already have? Which is the appeal upon which is telling us to separate ourselves? Don't forget, Apostle Peter 2, that's what he said. Are you following, church? He says that we should be circumspect in our conversation, our anastrophe, our manner of life, our association. Now, what are these promises? Go back to chapter 6. Go to verse 14. Let's see what these promises are. He says, but ye are not, be ye not unequally yoked. Can you see where the conversation began? Be ye not what? Now, unequally yoked, come. Let me explain to you in agriculture. Now, a yoke is a metal that they put on the two necks of two animals. They use them as tractor. So if they want to plow the soil, they will put a plow, a disc or arrow plow, or whatever it is. They will attach it to the animal. So the two animals will be, they will put a yoke on their neck to join them together. So that is yoke. Now, one of the rules in Leviticus is that you must not yoke two different animals. The difference, and the reason is very simple. God forbid, and it will never happen. Say a loud amen. Let's say, for example, that's why it's an example. All right? For example, let's say this one now is a horse. Then I'm a cattle. My wife said, mm-mm. Okay, it's just example, babe. I'm sorry. All right. Now, if you yoke a cattle, okay, this is my wife's house, you know, let's just talk imaginary. If you, yes, now my wife said, mm-mm. Oh, yeah, go. Yeah, no, it's the example. You are not a also. You are a spirit being. Glory to God. Amen. If you yoke a cattle and a horse together, which one will get tired first? Huh? The cattle. So God is saying that is cheating. Don't yoke a cattle and a horse because the cattle will get tired quickly. And that one will still be going. We'll still be carrying the yoke. And then we'll still be plying. But the cattle will be doing... He's tired already. So God says, you should not yoke two different animals. It is that language Paul is borrowing from the Old Testament. He's now saying, be not unequally yoked. Unequal means uneven, partial yoking. Uneven, unequal. So he's saying, don't be partially yoked with an unbeliever. In other words, any yoking with an unbeliever is an impartial yoking. It's an unequal yoking. It's a mumu yoking. Why? Because he's a cattle, you are a horse. In other words, you are two different species. Come on. So that's why he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says, look at his argument. For what fellowship has righteousness with? So what does he call the believer? What does he call the unbeliever? These are the promises. So one of the promises you are righteous. So he says, for what fellowship has fellowship with righteousness or unrighteousness? What communion had light and darkness? So the unbeliever is called what? The believer is called what? Light. Next. What concord as Christ with Belial? Can you see that? Or what part And he that believeth and what? An infidel. Then verse 16, let's go. He now says, and what agreement has he, the temple of God, and idols? He calls the believer what? Come on, talk to me. Temple of God. He calls the unbeliever what? Idol. He now says, as God has said, I will dwell in them. That's why he's explaining to you how you are the temple of God. I will dwell in them. He's quoting Jeremiah 31 from verse 31 to 33. I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 17, come on. Next. He now says, therefore, come out from what? Come out from what? Is he talking about association? Come on. Come on, talk to me. He says, come out from among them and be ye what? Separate. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch the unclean animal. Can you get? So he's quoting the scripture, but he's quoting the Old Testament, he's lifting it from the Old Testament, but he's bringing it into a New Testament explanation, which has to do with association. He's not talking about, you know, diet plan. When he said you should separate yourself from unclean animals in Leviticus, he's talking about what? Association. Then the next chapter, he now says verse 18, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises. What are those promises? That you are righteousness, that you are light, that you are what? The temple of God. Come on. That he has called you his father. In other words, he has set you apart. Now you are sanctified. Now, having all these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves. That means separate ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Perfecting holiness. Now somebody say, that means I was holy. He's asking me to perfect it. That means God did not perfect the holiness. No. The word perfect here, let me give it to you, is translated, in fact, the word is epithelio. I wish you have Sword Bible over there to display. I will show you the Greek letters. Epithelio, that's the word perfecting. It is translated as perform in Philippians 1:6. Give me Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6, quickly. The word perfect in there. Philippians 1:6. Look at it. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will what? Perform. Somebody say perform. That word is epithelio. Again, you will see it in Galatians 3:3. Give me Galatians 3:3. This is good study. I'm telling you, this is good Bible study. Are you learning something at all? Good. Galatians 3:3. Look at what it says. Galatians 3 and verse 3. He says, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So the word perfect here is also what? Epithelio. So it's the same word, to perform. Look at it in 1 Peter 5 verse 9. You see the word there again. 1 Peter 5 verse 9. Same Apostle Peter, chapter 5 and verse 9. It's letter to the Jewish Christians scattered abroad. Chapter 5 and verse 9. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. Look at it. Look at what it says. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. You got it? Are you there? It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished. Somebody say accomplished. Is performed in your brethren that are in the world. Same word. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Let's see it. Let's go there. So 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. What did he say? Let's go back there. Our major scripture. How many of you get it? Did you get it? How many of you got it? So he says, having therefore these promises, what are the promises? Come on. Come on, talk to me. Righteousness, light, temple of God. Having these promises, let us separate ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh. Now, I wish I had time to explain to you. The flesh is a theological explanation for being unborn when you are not born again. It doesn't mean this natural flesh. The works of the flesh are these, which are adultery, fornication. The flesh there means things that are not of the spirit or things that are spiritually defiling. So when he says, cleanse ourselves from all fitness of the flesh and this and spirit, it means of the flesh, that is, of the spirit. And there means, that is, performing holiness in godly reverence. So you've been made holy and you are asked to perform holiness. So your performance to live holy that is requested of you is an offshoot from an understanding that you've been made holy. Now, one way to do that is association. Were you blessed? Have you been blessed by my teaching now? He's telling you that you have been made holy. Apostle Peter says you have been made holy. Now, walk in holiness. Apostle Paul is saying the same thing. Having this promise of being made righteous, of being made the light, of being made the temple of God, now perform the holiness in godly reverence. Fear of the Lord, dear. I wish I had time to show you where it shows. For example, when the man with the issue of blood touches garment, and the Bible says, she fearing and trembling, is the same word, dear. It means reverence, not phobia. The word fear here is not phobia. Fear of God is not phobia. It is the Hebrew construct is yare. It means reverential worship. If you check the Amplified Version, it's talking about reverence. Or a minor way to explain it, respect. Come on. It's not like a frightening. The fear of God is not what is not a it's not phobia kind of fear. Let me tell you the difference. Phobia deters you from the object upon which you are afraid. Yare, the worshipful kind of fear, what it does, it draws you closer and regulates your attitude. For example, Joseph said, how can I do this wicked thing in the sight of God? That means God was in view, so he counted ungodly for him to sleep with his boss's wife because God was what? In view. That is the fear of the Lord. Come on. It's called worshipful reverence. So he's saying perform your holiness. Carry it out. In Hebrews 12, it tells us in verse 14, it says that you should make peace with all men, without which no one shall see the Lord. That means no one will see God through you if you don't perform the holiness. Because you are the light. You are the expression of God. Come on. You are the God the world can see in the physical in this world. So he's asking you. He says, perfecting holiness in godly reverence. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. That's what Peter is saying. So let's go back to our anchor scripture again. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. In fact, start from verse 14. 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. I wish we can just tabernacle on this teaching right now for 4 hours. Let me just take it, each of these scriptures, let me show you their construct. Let's go step by step. Boy, you'll be so blessed. But you are blessed now, aren't you? Right? Or should we just try? Okay, all right. No, I don't want to do that. All right. 1 Peter 1, verse 14. Let's close. 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. Look at what it says. We're waiting for you, media. All right. Please
Reverend Mrs., let me see. Okay, they've given us.
He says, as obedient children, can you see verse 14? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to what? The former lust in your ignorance. Can you see that? He's demanding a certain conduct from you. He says, he now goes back, now goes on in verse 15. Look at what he says in verse 15. He says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of what? Conversation. Give me another translation. In all manners of conduct. So he's saying, you've been called holy. Now live holy. You are a sheep. Stop wallowing in the mud with a pig. The pig is having a great time. Because that is his habitat. But that's not yours. So this is the concept of holiness. And you've been made holy to live holy. He says, ASV says, but like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourself also holy in all manner of what? Living. Don't forget, we are looking at, what is the title of this message? Sanctitude. It means the state or the quality of being holy, sacred or saintly. Merriam-Webster dictionary gives us some of the synonyms as holiness, sacredness. You are sacred. You are divinely set apart. So he's demanding a fruit that is consistent with that reality. So you are a sheep, don't bark. Barking is for dogs. Now, how convenient is a sheep barking? How convenient is it? Very convenient. Is it convenient? It's not convenient because it was not fashioned to bark. How convenient is dog barking? Very convenient because that is his nature. How about if you tell a dog to bleat? Can a dog bleat? Even if he attempts it, you will know that he's struggling to do it. That's why believers can never enjoy sin. If you see a believer who is enjoying evil association, who is enjoying the benefits from evil association, we can question his salvation. Maybe he wasn't born again. And association is so important. They determine what you will become. They determine whether or not you will be what God wants you to be in life. It's very important. So one of the ways you live in holiness is to be circumspect with your association. Live insulated in this crooked world. I didn't say isolated. Because you are going to live in this world with them. Come on, talk to me. In this crooked world, let your light so shine. Come on. Let's close with this. First Peter, that same Peter, go to chapter 2. Let's see what it says in verse 9. Oh, I love Peter. I don't know if you love Peter. Bless his loving heart. Glory to God. My wife and I were watching the movie yesterday. What's the title? Reason. Praise God. Powerful movie. I don't know if you have seen that movie. It's a 2016 movie. Reason. Eh? I don't know if you have seen it. Okay. I'll give some. Yeah, this is what we call yoke. Thank you. He says, so in that movie, you know, I was seeing Peter, all of them in that movie. Why are you guys looking bored? Like, Pastor, which kind of movie be that one? It's a nice movie because it's talking about, you need to watch that movie. It's so amazing. At a point, my wife and I were just almost crying. I mean, actually that place with that woman, you remember that woman? What was that woman of the streets? Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus casted 7 demons. When that man went to meet him, says, Who is this Nazarene? And the woman was smiling. She was smiling. She said, to see him is to love him. Glory to God. Beautiful movie. I'll give you media will make it available for church people. Praise God.
I don't know why you are laughing, though. All right, 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a what? A holy nation, a peculiar people. You are a holy nation not just for being holy. You are a holy nation, a peculiar, special people for a purpose. For what? That. Did you see that? How many say that? That means so that what? You should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his. Can you see that? The word show there is katagelo. It means to declare. Can you see that? In your act, in your association. So he's asking you, you are a holy nation. Therefore, show that holiness in your conduct. And number one way to do that this evening that we observe is what? Is what? Look at, let's close with this one. Psalm 1:1. This last scripture, then we'll close. Look at it. What did I do? Okay, I promise you, this is the last scripture. He says, blessed is the man. Oh, are you a blessed man? Let me give my notes to my wife so that you know I'm not calling any scripture again. Somebody is saying in their head that it's in your head now. The scripture is in your heart. You see, it's not as if it's in your notes. But I promise you, maybe this will be the last but one. All right, let's go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of what? Sometimes you see people walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They are not living holy. Number one way to live holy is to be circumspect in your association. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he what? Meditate day and night. Because the people who are close to you, they have access to your mind. They can corrupt you. 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, be not be deceived. Evil association corrupt good manners. Have you seen people who say, well, me, I can do bad by myself. I know myself. Nobody can influence me. Nobody. Me, nobody. Nobody, nobody, no. Nobody can influence me. All your friends, they're having sugar daddy. 5 of them are having sugar daddy. But you're the only one without sugar daddy. Don't worry, you'll be the 6th very soon. It's not about they can't influence. They can't. The Bible says you are a self-deluded mumu. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, look at it. Give me. Go back. We'll come back to the book of Psalms. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Look at it. Come on. Did you see my name there? Come on. Did I write it? Come on. Did you see my signature on that Bible? That Bible has been there before I was born. It says, be not what? That means don't deceive yourself. Evil association. Communication here is not just talking. Give me another translation. The word communication there means association. Can you see that? HCSB says, be not be what? Deceived. Bad company does what? Corrupt. It's a spirit. It's not something you say, me, I will not do it. You wake up one morning and just find yourself. I'm not even finding yourself sometimes.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org. Or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.